Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This week in League, fringe first graders rush to take photos of themselves with the homeless as Billy Slater is tipped as Craig Bellamy's successor.
As a bald failure who has taken it in every orifice, Michael Maguire plays Will Smith as his new bodyguard.
Robbie Farah clarifies he wasn't pointing to the coach's box, but merely pointing out the distance between A and B defenders.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 4 of the 2022 NRL season.
All that more. Welcome to episode 450 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
That was You're right, Glenn.
It's a very pregnant pause there, Jay.
episode 450, which you know, frankly, you know, by sheer coincidence, corresponds to the number of minutes it took to get fucking started tonight.
450.
Yeah.
What an accomplishment.
How good.
We would all like to sign off now and give you nothing but an hour of montages of previous episodes. See you next week.
So if a listener, like long-term listeners, if you could formulate montages in your head and
send them through
them for the next hour. Well, don't send them through. Just think of your favourite moments and, we'll see you next week.
Oh, jeez. After episode 430, I really felt they phoned it in.
Yeah, personally, I only really pay attention to the round numbers coming up when they're actually, like, you know, the hundreds. But I guess 450 is it's a minor milestone. It's the type of milestone that they talk about it a little bit on TV. They may not, you know, have a special song and dance, but, you know, pre-game about it. The commentators might ask you about it in the pre-match interview, though, and your teammates probably wouldn't play especially hard to get the win. It's not as important as a nice round number.
Unless it was the Tigers, in which it wouldn't matter. They wouldn't put any effort in whatsoever, regardless of the milestone or not.
Wouldn't matter if it was a 50, 100, or even 1,000.
It could be the fucking death of one of the hosts. They wouldn't put in a fucking effort.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, that would be a fair comparison, though. Like, you know, if you know, God forbid, you know, something happened to Glennie.
Why did it have to be me? Single me out?
Because I'm trying to correlate you to Tommy Radonikis.
Gotcha. Okay. No, fair call. Please continue.
We're talking about the Tigers.
Why couldn't you fucking correlate Jay to Ben Alexander? Why did it have to be me and Tommy?
Because I can handle my shit.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, that were probably last words as well, Jay. If we're being serious, I mean, everyone thinks they can when they take, but yeah, now we're way off track and way on brand. This week,
out of the three of us, only one of us has ever ended up in the hospital because they had trouble understanding how their body goes to the toilet. You know,
it was more an understanding of why my body wasn't going to the toilet was probably the reason I ended up in hospital. I appreciate the sentiment there.
Oh, do you see that news story though? Like, just it was just the other day. Was it a Brazilian chick or something? A model, like an Instagram model or something? And she was, yeah, she didn't want to fart in front of her boyfriend. Like, she was embarrassed or whatever. She didn't want to fart in front of this new boyfriend. So she was like, just not farting. To the extent where there was, like, you know, such a significant build-up that it put her in hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know.
Have you tried that as a reference point, Glennie?
Not farting?
No, well, no. Have you said to Nicolin that, you know.
Becoming a Brazilian model.
Can you please choke me? At least I don't have a fart fetish.
Oh, fucking Jesus. Yeah, no, that'd this be...
The thing. It's not... He's not avoiding the choking because he thinks it'll offend... Yeah, his wife or something. He's not even bringing it up. Like, it's not like at all.
Which is why Nathan so kindly is offering to broach the subject on my behalf with my wife to her utter fucking horror.
Say the word. I'll send her a fucking TED talk extolling the virtues of erotic asphyxiation.
Just remember, Glennie, squeeze the sides, don't press the front. That's all it is.
Oh, I appreciate the coaching. How good.
If you want to do a fully clothed run through, we'll give you a live coaching session.
Are you going to choke me, mate? How good. I've got half fucking nasty just thinking about that.
Right. Round 4 coming up this week. Rugby league's happening, fellas. Did you know? Have you ever heard about that thing called footy? Part of our slow start, like when we were setting up for this episode, came from the absolute lack of news. I mean, we kind of spoke about, because we were late on recording the other episode this week, you know, we had the verdict in that it was 6 weeks for Mitch Barnett. So we knew that. My God, there's so much opinion-related content at the moment and presenters on Fox television show content at the moment. Yeah, and in the middle of that, we have an absolute absence of actual news. So is there anything that you want to talk about?
Is that the news story? You know, and I know we started on it a couple of episodes ago, but just the fact that the state of fucking sports journalism in this country is so fucking bad that more people would listen to this episode than would read a fucking mainstream journalism publications footy stories. Like, you look at
the Fox News page. The Fox News one is a particularly special little fucking jewel out there to look at.
So,
because all of the news on there at the moment, you could probably do a count. You've got it open, haven't you? You could do a count.
I'm going back to it. So
just generated from their panel shows and the arguments their panel show hosts have between each other on the panel shows.
So here we go. The first story. Ennis calls on Brooks to depart Tigers.
Right, so there's one.
Second story. Ennis hits back at Benji's Walker defence. Offers solution to struggles.
No wonder they love Ennis despite, you know, everyone on social media saying, you know, why has this guy fucking got a job?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. He generates so much content for their print arm.
The next one is Benny Elias talking about the Tigers, who is also a regular panellist on their TV shows. Like, fucking hell, all it is. And it's that bullshit stuff. Then you go to NRL videos.
Mm-hmm.
Ennis fires back at Benji over Walker. Ennis tells Brooks to get out of Tigers. Like, fucking seriously.
Mick Ennis is the media now.
Yeah, far out.
He move over, Rupert. News. Yep.
Corey Parker says he is like Wayne at the Broncos and urged the Tigers to cut Madge loose and install Sheens. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yep. So that's news. What a fucking state of news. And look, our intention is to speak about news stories on Wednesdays, but...
Yep. Unless we kick off at 5 to 10, in which case, fuck that news.
Oh, it's not even that, really? Though. I mean, like, if we kicked off at 8 o'clock tonight, I mean, what is there to talk about? What news would you really want to talk about on there?
Oh, fuck all. Yeah. There's too much shit about the Tigers.
Everything's speculation. Is Billy Slater going to be Bellamy's replacement? Who fucking knows?
Yeah. And that's if he doesn't extend again or whatever. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. So I want to move ahead to round 4, fellas. And
let's.
The first game that we're going to have on Thursday night down there at Hope Solo. Are you going to be there, Glennie? Can't probably make it down, can you? Thursday night?
No, I don't think. Bit of a struggle, if I'm honest with you.
Not going to knock off at lunchtime and head down the mountain?
No. Big day tomorrow. Don't think I'll get there, unfortunately.
Big day tomorrow, right? The Gold Coast Titans are playing the West Tigers down there at Hope Silo. And the Titans side, they are without Jaden Campbell this week with a rib injury, which makes it very fortuitous timing for the signing of Jermaine Osako, because he will make his debut for the Titans at fullback. Smooth Corey is back as well on the wing. And Philip Sammy is out.
How did Corey Thompson become Smooth Corey?
I don't know. Just started calling Smooth Corey.
Corey Norman retires and his nickname gets fucking passed around. Like
exactly. Exactly. So, what else we got here? Isaac Liu is out. Jolliffe starts prop. Wallace joins bench. And the Tigers side. So, Roberts returns in centre. Malmalo returns on the wing. And Tuilagi, the shining light 2022, returns. Garner and Seafarth push back to the bench. Toa and Simkin out of the 17. Musgrove starts at prop with Stefano out injured. So, Glenny.
West Tigers have a nasty habit over the last, well, for the entire history, of managing to play both teams and also individual players right back into form. So teams can be fucking struggling, can't beat anyone, got a dozen players out, they play the Tigers and smash them. Players could be getting hammered in the media for form slump over a season, two seasons. They play the Tigers and have an absolute fucking blinder. Their career's back on track.
Let's be just clear to start with, though, Glennie. The Titans are in pretty good form at the moment.
Exactly. But Dave Taylor...
They're not struggling.
That's quite ironic. Dave Fifita...
Yeah.
...is in probably a little bit of a patch at the moment where he hasn't really been hitting the heights that rugby league fans and Titans fans would expect from him. And this is exactly the type of game that I expect David Fifita to run for about 300 metres, score two tries, kill seven people, and... I just don't see that the Tigers, based on the way they've played the first 3 weeks of the season, certainly the last two, putting up much resistance to that. And I would imagine someone like Dave Taylor would look at the Tigers and those A and B defenders that could be in trouble.
You would hope by this stage of the season, though, it's starting to mean more to the Tigers.
Losing?
Like Nate's right. There's really no pressure on the Titans. No one's looking at them and saying, well, you know, we are, but there's not this general thing of, oh, you're underperforming, crisis talks, you know, pull your head out, you need to improve.
I don't think the Titans as a team are travelling poorly at all.
Not at all. But
look, they can't, they're not going great defensively, let's be honest, but neither are the Tigers. This game has shootout written all over it,
yeah.
But I think that the Titans have far more shots to fire. So when I say shootout, it'd be like a 30-something to teens, perhaps, you know?
And Noffa to score a try in junk time.
74th minute.
And then do that thing where he holds the fucking logo and looks at the crowd like, yeah, I fucking told you.
After doing the open arms thing, like, you know, where the fuck were you to his defenders when tries are going in, you know?
Junk time, a loomer. Unfortunately, the Tigers are going to bring Luke Brooks to a gunfight. And I cannot, with all fucking due respect, I'll be surprised if the Tigers win this game the way they've been going.
Yep.
I remember them even without due respect and staring down the barrel and absolute flogging, you'd still tip them.
Yes.
Whatever that, right. Glenny. So young. So full of hope. I'm ravaged by the fucking miseries that life has
to
offer.
Buddy, this is the hashtag defeated season.
Hashtag defeated post-pandemic Glenny. It's just a broken man. Moving on to the pub slot game, the Sharkies take on the Knights. And this one, the Sharkies lineup. Talakai moves to the centres because Connor Tracy is out injured. Wilton slots into the vacant second row spot and Ikavalu is out with an ankle complaint. And the Moot is back on the wing. Knights, Ponga's named again. Let's see if he withdraws just before game time again, as he has done. Brody Jones comes in for Mitch Barnett, who, of course, is in jail. And Suaso Su on the bench. And, look, probably not a sick... I don't think this... You know, we say the pub slot game, but, I mean, maybe it was when they scheduled it pre-season.
Mm.
But this is shaping up as a pretty good match. And two of the better form sides in the competition at the moment. I see the Knights were like a fairly heavy underdogs on the betting when I was putting my tips in this morning. Surprisingly so. I'm not saying that they should be favourites.
$2.75 outsiders.
Yeah, and like I'm not saying they should be favourites by any stretch of the imagination, but this is a game that I see as, you know, potentially, you know, very evenly matched. I mean, the way the Knights competed after being a man down was pretty good last week. And, you know, they had the momentum and I think we're in front of the scoreboard when that, you know, grub shot actually happened and rubbed them out of the game. So Sharkies, obviously, you know, their form has been terrific. I mean, they had the hard-fought win over the Eels, and then they came back last week and just, you know, poured it on, and their attack really clicked. So who you got for this one?
I'm going to back the Knights here just based on them, you know, again, I think they know they wasted an opportunity last week.
Yeah.
And they'll be really keen to get their season back on track. They were one of the last two undefeated teams. There's really nowhere on the field that I can see Cronulla has a massive advantage. You know, in the forwards, you know, Newcastle's forwards have been doing a good job. Maybe at hooker, and you might rate Nico over Clune.
Well, yeah, most definitely.
You know, but Clune's been playing out of his fucking skin though. So
yeah, but Nico though, he's been great.
Too. Yeah, again, correct. But
yeah, I don't understand.
There's no obvious point where the Sharks should be favourites is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what are the bookies? You know. Given we know that they, you know, the way that they work, I mean, that's a large spread for like early odds, but, you know, for a game, you know, like it seems far larger than I would have anticipated. Because, I mean, like, you're not telling me Mitch Barnett is this fucking factor. You know, I think the playing group will feel a lot better without him this week.
Yep.
And, you know, try and make an example of, you know, like, he's not here. He robbed us of our chance to compete last week. And so they come in with a bigger chip on the shoulder. But, yeah, I don't think that they should be as far underdog as they are. And I think they've got a massive chance of winning. I'm like you, Stepdad. I'd probably favour them too.
Mm.
How about you, Glenny?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Sharks. And I think it'll be a tightly contested game. But I think Nico Hines' form to start the season is too good to pass up. So I'll take the Sharks.
Righto, moving on to the late game on Friday. The Penrith Panthers take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs out there in Penrith. And the Panthers line up. Cleary, straight back in at 7. Sean O'Sullivan out of the squad altogether. No love, no respect. Chris Smith failed the concussion protocol after the high shot from Barnett. So he's gone. So Sorensen starts back row. Lindsay Smith, the new interchange player. The Rabbitohs side, unchanged. Unchanged, not a thing to report.
This is going to be a cracker of a match and a fucking danger game for Penrith, just based on the form both of them showed last week. Obviously, the game Penrith played was vastly different to the one that South played. But they are back so fucking close to the form that got them into the grand final last year. And
plus, there is that kind of grand final rematch, you know, thing that they pump up. Yeah.
And you remember it happened sort of about this time last year when Penrith played Melbourne.
Yep.
You know, and they went there and they just wanted it more. They just out-enthused Melbourne in all of these little areas. You know, Cleary's first game back, so he doesn't have as much runs under his legs. Look, yeah, I obviously want Penrith to win, but I'm actually going to tip South here.
Really? Oof. What? That's fucking.
Fuck, you nice. Said you're at the gym. You were on the fucking glass barbecue, motherfucker.
No.
Is this a first?
Just based? No, not at all. 13 plus. Put your fucking house on it. But
you're doing something special for the fucking 450, are you? Jeez.
Well, yeah. Again, look over and let me just bring the. the teams up, but
look, Fish is an issue. Like the you know he's in there in 24, in the so middle. He's not exactly. ready to come. I don't think he's ready to come back.
No, he's not. He's 100% not.
Yeah,
and he's named on the extended or in the reserves, but
yeah,
no way, no way he fucking plays. What they really miss when he's gone, and it sucks that they've lost him and Moses at the same time, is that fucking 1-2 punch. Because when they've got that starting pack on the field, it is just an impregnable wall in defence, and it just rolls.
I will say that Eisenhuth is nothing like those two blokes.
No, not at all.
And I'm not diminishing him as a footballer, but by pure comparison...
Yeah,
he does not bring any of that to the table.
Exactly. So, yeah, and as great as Sorensen's been, he's not a Capewell.
Mm.
Yeah.
And probably has a few more errors in him at inopportune times over the last little while. So it's a vastly understrength Penrith side that's taking on a South Sydney side that has something to prove. And especially the Trell. We spoke in Monday's episode about how he is when he's just in that fucking happy zone with enough of a chip on his shoulder to get him to do amazing things and not enough to tip him over the edge into brain snaps.
Mm.
And the fact that he missed the grand final last year, I think would be weighing heavily on him.
I think if South win this game, I'll change my opinion on where they're at quite dramatically, but I'll tip Penrith purely for the Cleary factor. And I think Kikau will need to have a big game. But I think Cleary gets Penrith over the hump in this game against South. So I think his control, by comparison with Ilias and Walker, purely from that halves perspective, I think that'll be enough.
Yep.
Yeah. The thing about this game is, also, I'm not convinced like one outing in a grudge match makes South Sydney's form real. I mean, they were great last week, you say? If they won this game, yeah, sure.
Okay.
But I'm not convinced enough yet to say, oh yeah, they're going to win.
So you're saying last week the grudge match?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, because this one's not a lifelong grudge match. This is just like the grand final rematch in quotes. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not like this 100-year fucking thing.
Yep.
Or, 20-year thing, because South haven't only been in the comp since, 2000? So.
Yeah, it's the comic book of feuds.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, I'm going Panthers. I mean, you can't go past the Panthers until they give you a reason to. The Warriors take on the Broncos, moving along to Saturday afternoon, down there at Redcliffe, future home of the Dolphins. The Warriors side, Bailey Sirenin is out, Murchie is promoted to the bench, and Sean Johnson... He's there in the 24. Maybe a chance for an early return. We'll see. But otherwise unchanged from the side that was victorious in that absolute, I don't know what you want to call it, from against the West Tigers last weekend. The Broncos side. So Capewell is in the reserves with a calf injury, unlikely to play. Flegler's back. Ryan James will start at prop. Rabadi is listed on the bench at the expense of Corey Jensen.
I think both teams were ordinary last week. The Warriors still managed to win, which was, as I said the other night, says a whole lot more about how bad the Tigers were than the Warriors. But I think Brisbane's ceiling at the moment, I feel, is just that bit higher than where the Warriors are at. And I think they'll be looking to right that ship from last week, and I think Brisbane will win.
Which is funny because if you look on paper, the Warriors should be one of the most exciting young teams in the competition.
Mm.
Just with the excitement they've got and the exuberance and energy out the back with guys like Walsh, Harris Tavita in the six. But then they go and within their own fucking team, they offset that with cunts like Lodge. Now, we've all had a bit to say about Matt Lodge.
But in that game against the Tigers last week, he is just so fucking unsuited for the direction that the game's taken in the last 3 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not fit enough, not mobile enough.
Which is ironic, because when he came into first grade at the Tigers, he was renowned as, you know, this massive human with a massive motor.
Mm.
But that clearly hasn't evolved, and now the game has, and he's now not fit enough.
That's it. So, but even in terms of like the great battering rams of the league at the moment, like you've got, you know, Big Nass, you got Papali'i, you got JT, like those guys that are just their size, he's not even ranking up there with those guys.
That comes back to his fitness, though.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think that he even has the ceiling of those guys, even if it was a fitness thing.
Yeah.
I think even if he was twice as fit as those guys, he doesn't have the leg drive or any of that shit, you know what I mean?
That's it. So, Glenny, I agree with you. I think the Broncos have got much more to grow in them than the Warriors do at the moment. So, tipping Broncos.
Yeah. And Tony Staggs took a bit of a beating in the media over his game. And I think his problem is not necessarily, he's obviously a talented player, but his finishing is fucking terrible.
Yeah, it is.
And I think that, not necessarily him finishing off tries, but him throwing the last pass after he makes a break.
Yeah.
Shit like that. Like, there were so many, like, poor passes, forward passes, just bombed shit, just because he's quite a poor finisher. And I think once he works on that, once he eradicates that, he'll start to be worth what the Broncos are paying.
I think last week will be a blip on the radar of Reynolds' time at the Broncos.
I agree.
But I also feel like I don't know that Katoni's – the big knock on Staggs last week was and the commentators were like, look at the great Brisbane centres and, Justin Hodges and – always come looking for the ball and a dummy half run and Tony Staggs is not that guy, and I think comes down to someone like Reynolds getting in his ear and finding moments to drag him into the game and then allowing his skill and ability to shine through. I just don't know that he has. Maybe it's a football IQ thing at this level or whatever it might be, but he's not going to get there himself. He needs an experienced player to take him under their wing and show him the way as to how. And Reynolds is that guy. He's played with some fucking wonderful centres in his career. I feel like it's, expecting Staggs to just get that skill completely of his own accord is a bridge too far.
I think the other thing about that game last weekend with Staggs was he definitely got caught up in the battle of the egos, against Val, and like it was that they were like looking for each other and trying to put one over it, and that sort of thing. And maybe he's too green or mentally he's not up to it, but he was worse for it.
Yeah.
Whereas
Holmes played the best game.
Best game he's played since he was in
America. God knows how long. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So we're saying Broncos on that one there, and look, let's face it, it's almost a home game for the Broncos anyway. Mm. I mean, they can treat the whole camp and everything. They can treat it like a home, like a home game, and just drive up there on the day. Yep. So nice, easy one. Moving on to Saturday afternoon, the mighty Manly Sea Eagles take on the Canberra Raiders at Mudgee, the traditional yearly trip out to Mudgee, and the same team list, 17 for Manly as last week. We've got Aloye is on the bench, so returning from suspension. He's listed in reserves. I think that, fitness pending, I think he'll get pushed into the 17 pretty quickly because, he'll be crucial in tightening up the middle for the side. Look, I've heard some other things about the team list, and I guess we'll see what happens when the list gets reduced. But given the, three missed tackles or five missed tackles and three mistakes from Morgan Harper last week, his position is very fucking shaky at the moment, so much so that that Tolu Kola was playing for Blacktown on Monday night, I think, for in Reggie's. And he was taken from the field before half time at Desi's request. So, and he's in the set. He's been in the 24, you know, all games this season. He was into 14, I think, one of the matches earlier on in the year. But there is a chance that he may come into the side. And I heard a rumor that one of Manly's centers actually has the Covice, and he may come in at his expense. So we'll see what happens as the team list gets shrunk down. But that's something, you know, hope, you know, the Manly fans would probably love to hear. I mean, because everyone, you know, Cooler was getting so hyped up by the media in the preseason. And I think people are just waiting for him to debut. The Raiders side.
Yeah.
Seb Chris is out of the squad. Nick Chotrich is named on the wing after his late withdrawal last week. And otherwise, it looks like they're fairly as per program. Yeah, this is it always seems to be the Mudgee game. It always seems to be a Canberra game, I think. So... always a good battle. Always usually has a bit of spice and a bit of NRL chaos and a bit of niggling shit. And I expect plenty of that again this time. I think if Manly can just maintain their defensive effort over the vast majority game like they did last week, I think the Raiders at the moment are very much in that emotional state of a team where they need something to happen for them. And when it does, they can, you know, build momentum and sort of get themselves kick-started and ride a wave. I think that if Manly was to somehow get out to like a 22-0 lead, you know, just prior to halftime, I don't think
it's more chance of being 122-0 than it is of being 24-22.
How many tries did you score against the Bulldogs?
Two.
Okay.
In torrential fucking rain.
So in a whole game against the Bulldogs, why do you think you'd score that many tries against the Raiders?
I didn't say how many tries I was going to score against the Raiders.
We said if you can get out to a lead.
I was talking about the game that they played against the Titans. I said if we were to get out to a 22-0 lead, then they wouldn't be relinquishing it. Glennie knew because he literally just carried on and finished the analogy for me.
Oh. Yeah, no, but I am saying how unlikely it is that you would get to a 22-0 lead. You say you're at the Dairy Queen,
but I mean you're fucking you're actually working in a down at the Haterade factory filling bottles with your fucking ridiculous
selling
toxic
popcorn
juice
at the cunt circus.
Do you know where Dairy Queen is? Dairy Queen exists in the real world. So, I think Manly's let down most of the year has been their forwards.
Exactly.
And if Canberra can get up and get on top early in the forwards, there's some points in them. There's some fucking holes in Manly around the edges where Whiten likes to probe. I'm going to tip Canberra.
Do so at your peril, sir. Manly's certainly not back yet, but I really want to see what happens to the team list because if my confidence levels, if fucking Alloy A gets back into the side and then that necessitates the dropping of, like, you know, one of the fringe back rowers that they've got in there at the moment. And just, yeah, that's what I really want to see. And I want to see what happens around the centres as well, because I'd love to see Cooler getting his start. Look, I mean, there's going to be growing pains, as with any new young player who's making, like, their NRL debut, you know, essentially, especially if he's starting, because, I mean, he's only had 5 minutes, I think, off the bench in one of the games. You know, that's fraught with danger as well. But, you know, you got to love it when a guy actually gets his go, especially with Desi, who's kind of very, like, he's not a reactionary coach. Like, he really takes his time, you know, before, you know, blooding youngsters and stuff like that. So, hopefully he gets his... The thing I'm most excited for, hopefully he gets his run. And then, yeah, I just want to see the trajectory keep moving as it has over the last couple of weeks. And
I think Tom was good enough in those conditions last week and certainly had a high involvement level in that game, whilst, as I said, the conditions didn't really suit his game as much as a dry track, obviously. But I think based on that performance last week, I think he'll have a big game. I think Manly will be too strong for Canberra.
Right. Saturday evening, the North Queensland Cowboys, riding high up there at the abattoir. Welcome the Sydney Roosters, the Cowboys squad, as you would expect, unchanged. Why change a winning fucking combination? And the Roosters, Fletcher Baker's out. Saluka Fifita replaces him on the bench. Otherwise, very stable as well, which is kind of a novelty, I guess, for the Roosters when you look at the last 18 months. So, big test for the Cowboys. I mean, they bullied Canberra, and they followed that up with a wonderful performance to blow Brisbane away at home last weekend.
Yep.
Now they're coming up against a team where isn't in their, I'd say that isn't in their bracket. That's a team that exceeds their projected bracket significantly. And so that's the real, it's a really big test. I mean, Cowboys have got the best defense in the comp at the moment too, in terms of points conceded. So I guess we'll find out where they really are.
I think the Roosters should win, but there's been patches of certainly last week where just uncharacteristic mistakes, and Cowboys showed that, you know, with a weight of possession and a bit of a role like many sides in the comp, that if you give them that opportunity, that they've got some players that can really take advantage of that and hurt you. So I will tip the Roosters, but they, if they have, you know, large patches of a game or a match where they are dropping those balls, you know, in their own territory and the Cowboys can get camped down there, I think the Cowboys are a shot at knocking them off.
Yeah, look, I agree. But if the Roosters have shown us one thing this season, is that they can take some lessons from the week prior and really change course quickly. And really get a focus in the areas that they need to focus in. So just based on coaching, you can't go past the Roosters here.
Yeah. And funny you mentioned coaching too. I think one of the subplots of the game this week is that Trent has got the Covice and he'll have to, you know, coach them remotely or, you know, whatever, as he is in isolation at the moment. So also just looking at the Cowboys' expanded team list, were you aware that Brendan Elliott is not retired and he's in the Cowboys organization at the moment?
Jesus Christ.
I saw Brendan Elliott in 21. I'm like, that can't be like the one that played for Manly a couple of years ago, surely.
Yeah, fuck. But
as I look online, he went over and played in the Super League in 2021 and then he came back and around Australia Day, the Cowboys announced that they had signed him. So there you go.
Yeah, good on you, Cowboys.
Look, Sydney Roosters, I think, to win. But, like, I'm interested to see how the Cowboys go. I treat this as their first big test. They've had some excellent performances. Like, and it's not like they weren't, like, it wasn't like they were beating up on shit teams necessarily. I mean, these are teams that we thought would be ahead of them by the end of the season.
Yeah.
And like, particularly impressive that win against Canberra 2 weeks ago. So this is the first big test, and let's see how they go. Moving on to Sunday's games, the Melbourne Storm take on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs down at the Korean Housewife. The Melbourne Storm side have dropped Meaney and Lewis to the reserves due to the returns of Harry Grant and Xavier Coates. Brandon Smith drops to the bench. Harry Grant will start at hooker. The Canterbury Bankstown side, Hetherington out for the season. Not via suspension, as you may suspect, but because of his glenoid fucking...
It's a nasty glenoid. It is a nasty glenoid.
He got fancy, thought he was built for the MI, picked up a shovel, out for the season. It's the way it happens. So Corey Waddell starts in the second row. Yeah, that's how you did. Luke Thompson starts a prop. And Glenn's old mate, Ava Siamanafanai in 17.
Still going.
Yes, that's another one of those. Oh, my God. Ockenbore and Averillo are listed in the reserves after being dropped last week. I believe that Averillo killed it in Reggie's, so maybe he's just one of those players that lives in that gully between grades, yeah, where he's too good for Reggie's, but not quite good enough for first grade. Or you know what? Maybe he's good enough for first grade and he's just got a shit coach who dropped him after two games and was super reactionary.
I don't even know what his right position is, but it's not in the fucking halves.
No. So the Storm beaten at home last week in Golden Point extra time in a game that they certainly controlled for large portions. And look, you would imagine that with the players coming back, particularly with Harry Grant coming back, I mean, which is an excellent in for any side, with his return and that rotation with and the two-prong attack they run at the same time, often with Brandon and Harry Grant on the field, like the Dogs have defended resolutely. I believe they have the second best defense in the competition at the moment. But I think that figure may be blown out and eradicated over the 80 minutes against the Storm.
Yeah, that's it. You can't. Lightning would have to strike every player on the team for the Storm to drop this game.
Fatally, though. Like they could still win if they had Burns.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The Melbourne, I love it. You had to clarify that the Lightning strike must kill them.
Yeah, that's
yeah. It actually has to kill them, though.
Yeah.
Such is your disdain for a Trent Barrett coach side.
No.
If any of them survive, they will still win the game.
No, it's got nothing to do with Trent. It's got nothing to do with anything other than the fact that I think the Storm are that much better than the Bulldogs.
Yeah,
that's literally all there is to it. It's one of the best teams in the competition against one of the worst teams in the competition. That's just the gulf, man. That's the disparity. And it's a shame that with the return of Xavier Coates, that Nick Meaney didn't get to have his revenge game. And feel like, you know, have or you know, when in the case of players, you know, like George Jennings and, you know, Remus Smith and Meaney, it's more like the how the other live game, how the other half live game, where they've toiled through the tough garbage years, and now they're actually, you know, finding success at a good club. But for revenge games, it is the Foxes' revenge game. Remember, it was about this time last season where he scored like those six tries in the game, and I remember people joking at the time. It was like saying, "Yeah, he's just bulking up on the tries now because he's not going to get any when he's at the Dogs."
Yeah.
Anyway, as we move to in the conclusion of the first month of the 2022 NRL season, Josh Adokar has exactly zero fucking tries to his name, so maybe it wasn't that far from the truth. Melbourne by a million.
Correct.
The Eels.
Agreed.
The Eels take on the Dragons in Parramatta, and the Parramatta side riding high, of course, and their lineup only, I think, what have we got here? So Ryan Madison has come into the 15, replacing Ray Stone, the hero, like, you know, club legend Ray Stone, and Cartwright comes into the 16, ahead of Greg, and the St. George side. Okay, Cody Ramsey's out with a hamstring injury. So Matt Finau is named on the wing in his place. Jaden Sewer suspended, of course. So Jetski starts in the back row for him. Big oof. And Aaron Woods is their new bench forward.
That alone is enough for me to tip Para. Other than there's another 30 reasons, but that's good enough.
Oh, boy. When you talk about players that have motors, oh, boy.
Aaron Woods is not that guy.
Yeah,
I think after being ambushed against the Sharks, having that epic and, you know, surely massively morale boosting win against the Melbourne Storm in their home, I think the Eels will feel that this is a chance to really assert how on track they are in season 2022.
Yep,
and it's a great opportunity, I think, for them to work on the defensive deficiencies that have plagued them over the first couple of rounds, while at the same time reveling in the fact that they found their attack.
Mm.
And I think they'll find their attack against the Dragons well and truly.
I think they'll find it many times.
Yeah. I'll tell you,
And that big game that the Dragons had against the Panthers the other week, that's going to get blasted far into the deep recesses of our memories, I think, before too long.
Fuck the Dragons and fuck their fans.
Yep.
Look, you make a compelling argument, Glennie.
That's good enough reason for me.
And for that reason, and for that reason alone, I'm tipping the Eels. Oh, now we haven't really been doing the mailbag stuff. over the last couple of weeks. So I just want to acknowledge that, and we'll make sure we do trot one out for next Wednesday's episode.
We'll bring Mailbag back now that the season's underway proper. I'll tell you what, maybe we'll start asking for contributions for news stories, because I'm sure that out of our vast listenership, we could actually have better news stories come to us from things people may have just observed on the side of the road.
Than the actual media.
I don't know. Did you see a dog taking a shit on a footpath?
You know, I feel like I got things started last time with the Swiss roll in the toilet down there.
Was the dog
Central.
Wearing a West Tigers jersey? If so, that's a new story.
That's it.
But tipping we've done. So I guess that's it. That is full time for episode 450. Thanks to everyone for joining us up to 450 episodes. Well, there's only a very select group that were probably there for like the first five or so. But as always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for the support. And if you really want to support the show, head to patreon.com/toolnation and become a patron and get bonus episodes. Yeah.
You know, if you're happen to be listening to the show somewhere over, like, you know, in Germany, having just fucking escaped an oppressive regime like the CCP, get your fucking lazy ass in some Twill merch and go over and fight the Russians. So,
I mean, fighting the Russians is one thing. Well, fighting the Russians is one thing, but I mean, like, he doesn't have a Ukrainian title. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like,
I don't care. Talking about someone that would have listened to all 450.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. I mean, definitely, yeah.
You know? Fucking dodged national service in your own country.
Oh, love it.
And look, if you just want to send us scores on, you know, like on Bayraktar fucking strikes on Russian weapons, then by all means, we'll do those instead of the stupid Paul Kent bullshit stories.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Slava Ukraina.
The next mailbags are going to be interesting. There's going to be a bunch of dogs taking shits and sponge cake fuckers and Russian arms intersections.
Bayraktar accuracy.
Yeah, it is going to be a bag like that. However,
far more interesting.
It's going to be better quality.
Oh fuck! I'll tell you what, we won't take as long to get three fucking funny lines out of it.
That's right, but I mean, people will be like, how's that relate to footy? Is it a metaphor?
And why has Jay added David Nofaluma into that?
I mean, it's all offer all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it, fellas. I'll talk to you gentlemen next week and talk to the rest of you in the recap episode.
Slater.
See ya.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.